My objective as a leader is to find inner meaning, setting aside emotional goals. They say, I want to get out of that meeting with a contract signed. This is how we say it. You know, what do you want from that meeting? But how about, how do you want to feel after that meeting? Once you start doing this, you start checking in yourself.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Gerardo Sagat. I'll try again, maybe later, with a really cool accent at the end of the show, and we'll decide to edit it out or not. We'll see. But he is the founder and CEO of Out As Humans, which is probably one of the coolest company names I've ever come across. After several experiences as a CEO and an entrepreneur, Gerardo is now an international leadership coach. He is the founder and CEO of Out As Humans, like I said, and it is a company producing and distributing the performing arts show he created to humanize leaders of corporations and organizations worldwide, which is something I believe is desperately needed. Over the last decade, he has been a member of YPO, which is Young Presidents Organization, the world's largest community of CEOs, and he has founded and chaired chapters in Switzerland, Italy, and globally. Welcome to the show, Gerardo.
Hi, Kenny. Thanks for having me, and thanks for the pronunciation of the name. It was perfect.
I'm giving it a shot. We'll stack it up. I'm going to go find your other guest episodes and see how I did compared to other hosts. And maybe I'll make the top three. But I'm so glad to have you here. I know we've talked, you know, off the recording and previously before. So I'm really impressed with all the work that you have done and are doing. But as we start every show, we'd like to know, what is on your mind?
What is on my mind, like every day, is the purpose why I do what I do. So the purpose of my activity, which is humanizing, so unleashing the humanity of leaders.
Right, which when you hear it, and actually on my shirt, if you're watching the video, if you're on audio, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it says dignity, or creating dignity for all. And my coach, who created the system, talks about we want to humanize and elevate human dignity in the workplace. So I'm curious, when you think about your work, and when you are talking about your work in humanizing leaders and organizations, how are you defining that? And then how did you come about this work? Like, how did you find this purpose and this path?
Well, you know, I guess it is humanizing for me means showing up, you know, for who you are, and helping others, empowering others to show up for who they truly are.
So, which again, like there's a, one of the things that lets me know when someone's on to a great idea is when there's, I had a trainer call it the blinding flash of the obvious, right? Like when you hear it, it just has an intuitive, like a truth, that ping of clarity. You're like, well, of course. But the thing is, it's not happening, because if it was happening all over the place, you'd be out of work, or you'd have to find something else to do, or a different topic. So I'm curious, if there is a need to show up as you truly are with your whole self in leadership and in business, what is the current thinking or the prevailing wisdom that you've seen that has taken people away from being their true self, their whole self, or fully human in the workplace?
Well, I think some of them have to do with ourselves individually. Some have to do with the outside world. So, you know, as far as individuals, We have to deal with our mind. And whenever it comes to dealing with our mind, you have to think that our mind, the instinctive approach is to protect ourselves. So to protect us. And therefore, whenever there is something, discomfort, threats, you know, even the most stupid one, the mind throws protective thoughts at us. And, you know, the most stupid one, I always make this this example. You know tickling when people know tickling? Okay, so tickling, it's funny because when you get somebody to approach you and like tickle or try to tickle, then your reaction is, I get away or start laughing or whatever.
These
are protections behavior, okay?
Right.
There is a threat and therefore I'm protected. If you do it yourself, nothing happens. You know, there is nothing. You're not actually, you know, if you touch wherever you feel tickled, if you touch it yourself, nothing happens. So why is that? And so that for me, to me, is an example of what I mean. You know, the mind is built to protect ourselves. It means that, you know, if there is a threat, something, you know, difficult, something, discomfort, mind doesn't like it. So it will do anything to impede, to, you know, it will throw any thoughts at you so that you don't do it. Okay? And that means in relation to, you know, being human, open up, vulnerability, etc., showing for who you truly are, it means that, for example, say to you, well, look, you know, I can get to what I want even without being deeply authentic, or this is not for me, or I'm too old for that, or, you know, these thoughts, or it's difficult, you know, it is very hard. These thoughts are invention of the mind, because the reality and the truth and the what is actually happening is something completely different than that.
Interesting. But because it's coming from inside our mind, we're like, oh yeah, well that's logical. That's the right thought to think. Like we're not questioning our own thoughts. And some of what you said reminds me of when I was in college, or if you're my international friends, when I was at university, that in one of the psychology classes, we covered something called cognitive dissonance. And it's like when I'm afraid or there needs to be a protection, like I can either say, oh, well, this is not, like you said, this is the wrong thing. This is not for me. I shouldn't be doing this for these reasons, and justify my fear, or I need to change my perspective of the thing I'm doing, the protective thoughts. I need to confront those in a way so that I can regain that alignment. So what I hear you saying is we might need to be interrogating our own thoughts and justifications that we're telling ourselves. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Even more than that, I'd say that we simply have to know that we have a mind. We are not our mind.
Can you say more about that?
Well, we have a mind as much as we have an arm, as much as we have a leg, you know, and instead we don't separate from our thoughts. We think we are our thoughts, you know, we're attached to those, and there is no distance, there is no separation in our mind. But that's because of that. The reality is we have a mind. Done in different ways, you can train the mind, you can change the mind, and you can get your mind to go wherever you want it to go. It's even with regards to authenticity and opening up and showing yourself vulnerable and connecting with people, and et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, which, what's so interesting to me personally about this is I've heard a lot of those statements said about emotions, Like, you are not your emotions, or, you know, feelings should be like a red flag, but you shouldn't live from your feelings, right? Like, don't make a decision just out of a feeling, right? And your feelings can also be really deceptive, which is somewhat of what I hear you saying. Is like, well, I should be afraid of this thing. Well, maybe you shouldn't be. But I've never heard it, those same sort of sentiments or the that same type of advice applied to our thoughts. So how are you coaching, training, teaching people about why letting our minds sort of run the show is unproductive or impeding our progress towards the outcomes we want, the goals that we may have, or the purposes we have? How is it impeding that? And then how should we start thinking about our mind beyond just we are not our mind?
Well, I guess it's not really that, but it is the fact that what you can get when you actually have this separation from your thoughts, if you want. Because the reality is everyone likes to be more in control. If you ask anyone, say, would you like to be more in control of your thoughts, of your mind, and more, would you like them to go more towards where you want them to go? And yeah, anyone would say yes. So it's very simple. Now, let me add, there is something very easy to understand and practical here. You know, think about mindfulness. This is what it is. Mindfulness is, you know, take a moment and to become aware, you know. So awareness is very much important. You know, awareness of your thoughts, awareness of your emotions, awareness. And if you think about mindfulness, which is very trendy, obviously it would be more and more and more and more trendy. You know, everything starts from there, you know, because mindfulness makes you separate. Take a distance, observe, don't react immediately, don't jump into immediate action, just observe, you know. So before, think about like a road with traffic, with cars. Those cars are thoughts, you know. Instead of going there and trying to push and make this several, you know, just step away, look at, you know, there are these thoughts, where they go, and then choose.
Gotcha. It's, I've heard the phrase, like, pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Right? Like, that there's something to be learned from that. So it, being that you, obviously this is a podcast for leaders, but you, I mean, you're working with very well accomplished, high achieving, high drive leaders, entrepreneurs. I would think some of that may be more difficult because we get so focused on the outcome and driving this and just driving hard. And you see statistics all over the place that we're, you know, a lot of high level leaders and entrepreneurs, we're driving ourselves into the ground, right? Like we're sacrificing our mind, our emotions, our bodies, our relationships in the pursuit of enterprise growth, competition, what have you. What are some of the things that you're seeing now? Because I think the obviously the world and information moves faster than it ever has at any time in human history, and there are a lot of benefits to it, but there are some downsides that it sounds like you're paying attention to, that some people are giving lip service to, or maybe not giving it the right weight and value that it should. What are you seeing in the people that you're interacting with in terms of how they're combating that or what it's costing them?
It's like if you are holding on to something that is influenced by external factors. You know, when you were saying, so as we look outside, that's the main issue. You know, leadership has always been outside. You know, when you I went to school, you learned that success is money, that success is how many offices you have, how many people are. You know, there's never been any attention on inner, inside, you know. Now, the more the world goes into the direction that it goes, you know, uncertainty, change, this, that, you know, wars, COVID, things like AI, okay? And I add AI onto this. The more it is essential to be able to hold on to yourself, not to something else, not to some other, because those things will get away. And so you'll find yourself, at risk that you don't have balance, you don't have. So the reality is the world is going more and more. And think about AI. AI will definitely put, is and will definitely put even more focus on humanity, on human, the human skills of the individual, on inner. Okay, think about who is setting themselves inner objectives. So let's say, let's take as an example inner meaning. I want to, you know, my objective as a leader is to find inner meaning. Okay, so once you start setting yourself inner objectives, you know, this is what is actually needed, you know, more inner work, more inner objective, more, I'd say even, for example, another way is setting yourself emotional goals. Let's say, okay, I wanna get out of that meeting with a contract sign. This is how we say it. You know, what do you want from that meeting? I want, you know, sign the contract. But how do you want to feel after that meeting? How do you want to feel after the meeting? Okay, once you start doing this, you start checking in yourself, you know, and this is what is needed, okay? And leadership now is already an inside-out job, and with AI, with everything, you know, it will become more and more and more and more.
There's so much that resonates, and you know, I know people, podcast hosts joke all the time, like, you know, we have guests on and we're getting like free coaching and therapy. So that may be why guiding some of my questions right now. I love what you just said about leadership being an inside out job. For the longest time, I've had thoughts around like frameworks and things and concentric circles. And in the work that I do, I think that way, like the outermost circle is the whole of the organization, right? And then you move a little closer in and you got some teams. And then at the very center is the leader. And what I find, and I'd be curious what you're finding, is a lot of times I'm having to start at the very outside to start the work, because to affect the innermost part of an organization, the leader, or to affect someone on the inside, one requires a lot of trust on the other person, right? To let themselves be affected. But it feels like it takes some work of going from the outside to where there's a moment that you decide, I want to work from the inside out, as opposed to just working on all these tactical strategies around me. How are you helping leaders, or what's an approach you're finding that's successful? And obviously it may change person to person. Every person is unique, but to encounter these high performers where they're at and then getting them to the place where they really can have that inside out transformation instead of just, well, I got to learn another thing. I'm going to get another coach. I'm going to learn to, like, it's a new leadership strategy sort of thing, right? Like, I want the contract signed, like, instead of, well, how do I want to feel after this meeting, after I, you know, hire, fire, recognize, reward this employee? What's been your approach to sort of get people to the place where they're ready for that? Because I don't think, in my experience, everybody is ready for an inside out transformation.
Well, my experience was mentioning before, you know, inner objectives, the emotional goals. Yeah. This is the way that people start. It's like even mindfulness, you know, mindfulness is a way of getting used to have a relationship with yourself. Let's put it this way, to look at yourself, to build awareness, to then build acceptance, and then, you know, open the way to change, because this is how we do it, you know, decide the direction and open the way to change. I think that I'm going to tell you this thing. My experience with unleashing humanity is that everyone is craving to find themselves in scenarios where they can be who they truly are. Everyone. Okay. So here the issue is just to create that space where people can be who they truly are. And when you create that space, that thing becomes so simple. So simple. And what looks like something extremely difficult, in reality, becomes very simple. And I will give you an example of that. One of the things that I do, I do a workshop, 1-hour workshop at the board level of companies, banks, etc. So recently I was at the offices of a bank in London, a big bank in London, and invited. So I get into the room, and there's the IT guy. I say, "Oh, hi, how are you?" "Very nice, very nice." And then at 4 o'clock, the board starts. So people start coming in. They don't even come to say hello to me. They talk to each other. They didn't even know why they were there. So they sit down. Then two other boards of different locations are connected via Zoom. And we start. So half an hour, we talk about the positive effects of, you know, vulnerability, authenticity, etc. And the other half an hour, it's, you know, like a practical exercise where I share my deepest fragility, and I ask the people to share theirs in a certain way. They write it on a post-it note, they give it to me, then I read them aloud and share it with the people. Okay. In 1 hour, people end up crying. You know, things that are coming out, like, you know, sexual violence, you know, mental disorders. Okay. People who half an hour before didn't even greet, after half an hour, they cry, they hug each other. They come to me, say, "Yeah, the CEO writes me an email 2 days after to say, we're going to change things in the organization." So, I think it is very crucial to lead by example. And this is, to me, that's the easiest way, you know. So how do you do it with your client, you ask me? The way I do it is by being vulnerable, by being authentic, by being with them. And in 1 second, tick. It is incredibly contagious, because everyone wants it to find and to be in a space like that. So as soon as you create, people will jump into that space and be it.
Wow. That's phenomenal. I've been fortunate to facilitate some sessions where that has happened, right? Is everybody's just like, ah, just another meeting, you know, by the end, you know, there's tears or there's heartfelt expressions of sort of the corporate armor, if you will, is set down. So that's extremely powerful. So I'm grateful that, you know, there are people like you who are doing this kind of work in the world. Cause I wholeheartedly believe in it. And at this point, I personally am dedicating my life to that. Something early on when I was getting started, I had a coach help me and ask me some great questions on like, what is my purpose in doing? Why do you want to do this? Is it, you know, is it to get rich? And I was like, no, but I had got a lot of kids. I got to send to, you know, university and college, so I need to make some money. But ultimately, it was creating that psychologically safe space for leaders to grow. Because so often I don't think, or so often I think it is people do not feel it is safe to get to that place that you just mentioned. And it may take some time, and that's okay. But if they did feel like it was safe prior to your arrival, they probably wouldn't need you. They probably would have already engaged in this sort of vulnerability and humanizing type activity. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I mean, I don't call it safe because I don't think that it exists. Okay. I don't call it safe space. You know, I don't think there is a safety there. You know, it's all probably more a matter of bravery. It is more, you know, yourself feeling comfortable. Okay. So probably more comfort than being safe, because it's not, I don't think you can actually offer safety. But, you know, having said that, I think, you know, just, you know, bungee jumping. Okay. So I do helicopter skiing, but I can't do bungee jumping. Okay. Now, if you go up there with a friend, your girlfriend, your husband, whatever, and you see this one doing it, is it more probable or less probable that you're going to do it? You know, so the example is what counts, really. It is the example the example really drives. You know, if I desperately want to throw myself out, but I cannot do it. If there's somebody next to me, 1, 2, 3, 4 people doing it, I feel, okay, let's do it.
So then are you of the opinion that there is a certain level of responsibility or onus on, in particular, senior leaders, right? Could be board, could be the executive C-suite, to go first, to lead by example in order to see that. You talked about leadership being an inside out job, right? For an individual, let's extend that into an organization. Is it on them to take some of those steps of vulnerability, of being more fully human and their truest self, if they hope to see that sort of behavior or that sort of transformation inside of their organization?
Yes, I believe so. Because, you know, if the essence of a leader today is unleashing the potential of people, then, you know, the best way to do that is to allow them to be who they truly are. And this is how you unleash their potential. So how do you do that? If you lead by example, then they will do it. The issue is, I believe, that nowadays there isn't so much attention to the leaders. You know, we often ask them to do that, but we don't create spaces where they learn, where they change. And instead, we focus, we put the spotlight on them, saying, oh, well, you know, you have to be authentic, create the spaces, be vulnerable, let the people do, let the people show the best, you know, but ask. I mean, these guys, you know, bombarded with ask. And there is no moment where they can actually and say, look, you know, the reality is maybe before going there and asking, I'm going to have to do a little work myself so that I am like that. And I understand and I know how it. And then I can lead by example. And, you know, as soon as people will see me, leader, behaving in a certain way, the other people will do it automatically.
So then is it on that leader to seek out that space or seek out a coach or a therapist or where then if we're walking it earlier in the process, as you were describing, they need to, you know, pay attention to their own inner world so that they can show up and do those things. Where should these leaders be looking to, or is it on people like you and me or coaches or facilitators, or is it HR? Like where do they find those spaces and who's looking for whom in this case? Cause it could become another ask for them to go do this work so that they can go and be vulnerable and make good on all the other asks.
The easiest way is through coaching. I mean, coaching is somehow whatever is the objective that you have or the objectives that you have. Mm. Coaching will take you inside yourself. Okay. Mm. Now, I think what is more important is to actually decide. Take a decision to say, okay, I want to be my true self. That's the key, I think. Then the ways are there, okay? Different approaches, different coaches, group, this. You know, in my in YPO, the world's largest community of CEO, the number one reason for membership is what they call a forum. Forum is a format of regular meeting, like monthly meeting, where 9-10 CEOs meet and they update each other on personal and professional matters, you know, in an open, vulnerable, focus on emotions, etc. That also is a way, you know, it is a way to open up, to experience, you know, human connection, authenticity, etc., and see what it brings. So there are many ways. The key is taking a decision. And the biggest obstacle is that you will be bombarded by your mind. You know, don't do this, it's not applicable, it's irrelevant, you can get to money, success, even if you haven't, or you're not deeply authentic, etc. You know, and so you need to really overcome that and say, okay, you know, the reality is I've taken this decision. Sometimes you're lucky that something happens in your life, something, you know, bad or important or big happens that somehow pushes you in that direction, or you get ill, or, you know, something bad happens in your life and you're lucky enough. Or you take major decision like, you know, transitioning into a new career, for example. Some other times it's more difficult.
Yeah. What would you advise a leader listening to this? Maybe they've never engaged in you know, one-on-one coaching or a forum or a peer advisory group. You mentioned YPO, there's Vistage, EO, there's several of these organizations that will help facilitate, you know, those type of forums. What would you advise a leader to look for in good coaching? Because technically speaking, you can just wake up tomorrow and declare yourself a coach. and build a website and say, I offer coaching, right? And you, it may not be your skill set. You may not have been trained well, right? Like, I think bad coaching can do damage, in my opinion. What would you say to the listener, the leader who says, okay, this makes a lot of sense. I think I would like to take a step in investigating coaching, but how, if I've never experienced it, how do I know what good coaching looks like? What are some great signals that they should pay attention to?
From my point of view, I'd say three things. One is the CV. Okay. Now, CV means, yeah, obviously that's CV, qualifications, the background, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's one. The second one is chemistry. Chemistry. Mm-hmm. Chemistry with the coach. That's very important. Because I wouldn't worry too much about your objectives, because whatever your objectives, at the end of the day, the coach will take you inside. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it doesn't matter. You don't need to approach a coach and say, okay, my goal is inner meaning, you know, say my goal is performing well or clarify this situation, take this decision. Okay, now in any case, all this comes back to inner, you know, the person.
Yeah,
so it will go inside. So CV, chemistry, and the other one, the last one I would say is recommendation. I mean, people who have recommendations, so personal recommendation, you know, people who have maybe already experienced, coaching with.
Yeah.
I'd say probably these are the main three.
No, that's really good. I think you can weed out quite a lot, if you use those three as healthy filters. If somebody did want to maybe take those first steps towards being who they truly are, that they hear this, it resonates, they say, well, I'm going to take my first step. And maybe their step is coaching, but it could be something else. But what's something that would cost them little to no money that they could take action on in the next 24 hours towards being their truest, most authentic self?
I think I found from my experience that you need to start creating yourself some opportunities to check in, okay? So mindfulness is a way, you know, there are thousands of apps. But it, again, you're starting to say, you know, it's relevant. You're starting to look at yourself, okay? I said before, in even setting emotional goals, you know, so I start, you have an important meeting, you have a situation, you have a, just add emotional goals. How would I like to feel? And again, you know, something very that everyone can do is setting in your inner objectives. So that might be, you know, feeling more. Now I'm feeling this, or I'd like to move. I'm feeling in a different way. It can be I want to get something that is relevant to you, or inner meaning, for example. You know, meaning of what I do, but. Start setting yourself inner objectives.
I love that. Those are all great things, and might sound difficult. They're deceptively simple things, but I think some of the best things that we do in life are deceptively simple. thank you so much for spending time with me, with our listeners today. If somebody wanted to know more about you and your work with Out as Humans or the show or anything else, where would you send them?
I'll just visit my website, GerardoSoyata.com. There you find contact information about the show, everything.
Excellent. We'll link that up, link to the show. Also, a link to your LinkedIn if people would like to follow your content there as well. But again, I just appreciate you sharing your wisdom and taking some time out of your day, your afternoon, because you're living in the future compared to where I am right now. But thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this and would love to have you back sometime in the future to talk a little bit more. If this helped you as a listener make progress in your leadership journey, it would mean a lot if you would like, subscribe, rate, review. Any of those things can help increase the visibility of the show, of this episode, so that other people can find help. It's a great way to pay it forward, and it costs you no money. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.